My joy to open the Word of God again with you this morning. I ask that you turn to the book of 2 Peter, towards the end of your Bible. 2 Peter chapter 2. Truth speakers versus false teachers. Truth speakers versus false teachers. We've been working through 2 Peter, and we have seen in the first chapter God's provision for us in so many ways. And now we are getting to chapter 2, where Peter opens in the false prophets and teachers that will arise among us. The resurrected Lord Jesus had personally charged Peter to care and feed for his sheep, the church, his body. And Peter knew that his time on this earth was short. So Peter energetically now writes the inspired Word of God, the Holy Spirit moving through him so that the very words that he penned or the words that God wants us to hear for food for our souls. So Peter writes the Word of God to encourage and care for the sheep. He reminds them, he reminds us again, that God is faithful to His promise, to the promise which is His Word of covenant, His covenant love, chesed love, His love that He poured out on His chosen people by the Holy Spirit, and the ones that He calls to Himself, the bride of Christ, the church. The body of Christ are those who have been called by God to newness of life in Christ, and have been given by His divine power, as we read at the beginning of chapter 1, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Verses 3 and 4. For this reason, make every effort. Be all the more diligent to grow in the qualities of Christ-like change. Growth in Christ-likeness is for our benefit, for your benefit, and for the glory of God. God has no difficulty in identifying His sheep. He knows who His sheep are. But practicing these qualities is for our benefit, for your benefit, to assure you that you are His sheep. Because you cannot, in and of yourselves, be His sheep. You cannot change from the heart outward in Christ-like change. Only God can do that in the life of His sheep, by the Spirit-applied power of the Word of God. It is only then by His enabling power, the power of the Spirit-applied Word, that any person can grow in Christ-likeness. So grow in Christ-likeness. So Peter says, confirm your calling and election in Christ. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall in unbelief. Verse 10, chapter 1. Underline it. You may want to go back to that verse. Now, as we transition from truth speakers in chapter 1 to false teachers in chapter 2, we will see, one, false teachers follow cleverly devised stories. Two, they deny Christ by giving themselves to their sinful desires. And three, they exploit you with plastic words for their own gain. False teachers follow cleverly devised stories. They deny Christ by giving themselves to their sinful desires. And they exploit you with plastic words for their own gain. Let us read. Our text is first three verses, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But we will pick it up here, reading at verse 16 of chapter 1, and reading through the first part of verse 10 in chapter 2. This is the word of God. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, and we were with Him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned by casting them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until judgment, if He did not spare the ancient world but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others when He brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes He condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if He rescued Lot, righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day by day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. Let us pray. Dear Father, we bow our heads again, asking that You speak to us by Your living, life-giving, life-changing Word. applied by your Spirit in our inner being, our soul, that we might hear your life-giving word, and we might see your life-giving word. That life might be generated in those who do not know you, and that for those who do know you, that our life would be changed, that we would grow in Christ-like change. So show us, Lord, reveal that which needs to change in our life to please you and to glorify you. For you loved yourself. You loved not your life, but gave your life for us out of love for your church. So we ask that you be glorified through the preaching and teaching of your word and the hearing of it in our lives, in our thinking, in our decisions. For your glory, we ask it in your name. Amen. False teachers follow cleverly devised stories, myths, man-made stories. Chapter 2 opens with a great contrast. But on the other hand, as if to say, on the other hand, but there's a great contrast in that opening word. Peter said, look, we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. But cleverly devised stories, myths, false words are exactly what false teachers will promote in your midst. They will rise up among you. Just as it was then in the days of redemption from slavery in Egypt when false prophets arose among the people, so false teachers will arise among you. They will not appear with calling cards to show you who they are, but they will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Now, the word heresy may be described as an opinion. But when opinions run contrary to the scriptures, they become destructive heresies. Destructive heresies that divide and disrupt the unity of the Spirit that God gives to His church. We should be on guard against the opinions of our own deceitful hearts. For when our opinions, when our opinions run against the inspired written word of God, they will certainly disrupt our walk in Christ and the unity of the body, which is the body of Christ. Destructive heresies are the preferred tactic of the deceiver because he cannot give life. He is an imposter. He can only lie, deceive, divide, and kill. That's all he can do. He may promise, but it is empty. We should be aware of this ever-present danger and arm ourselves with the belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to to discern when our opinions diverge from Scripture. We are commanded in Christ to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility. Pastor Drew is preaching through Ephesians. You heard that text. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Called with all humility. Humility, knowing that we are sinners saved by grace alone. And gentleness. Gentleness, not easily provoked and not provoking others. Humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Typically, destructive heresies are novel opinions regarding three key doctrines: the Trinity, who God is, being one God in three persons; Christology, who Christ is, being 100% God, 100% man; and soteriology, what salvation is, being saved by God's grace alone through faith in Christ alone. Those three. A novel opinion on the Trinity, Christology, or soteriology effectively denies the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jeremiah warns us of trusting in our own deceitful hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things, writes Jeremiah in chapter 17, verse 9. A deceitful heart above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? Now the applied and assumed answer is no one can understand it. Your own heart. The world would tell us contrary. Follow your heart. Follow your desire. Follow what you think is right. The Word of God says the heart is deceitful. It's corrupt. And who can understand it? For we cannot understand our own thinking heart, the bent towards sin of our own thinking heart. But God does, and assures us in the very next verse, Jeremiah 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the mind, the thinking heart, search the mind and try the heart, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God knows our heart better than we do. But false teachers will arise who deny the Master by means of their words and actions. They deny Christ by giving themselves to sinful desires. There are actually two ways of denying the Master. The first we have just talked about, which is teaching and believing things contrary to Scripture. The second is by your walk, your life, the way you live that is contrary to a Christ-like life. The false teachers of Peter's day claimed Christ, claimed to follow Christ as their Redeemer, yet they refused to accept His sovereign Lordship in their life, thus revealing their true character as unregenerate enemies of biblical truth. The Greek word master, as used here by Peter, the Greek word master means sovereign, ruler, Lord, supreme authority. Now, both Peter and Paul employ this term. 1 Peter 2:18. Peter writes, "Servants, be subject to your masters." That is, slaves, be subject to your masters. "With all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust." Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." Although false teachers may not outwardly deny Christ, they don't say that. They may not outwardly deny Christ's deity, God, His atonement, full payment for sin, bringing people to Himself, resurrection, that He rose from the dead, second coming for judgment. They may not deny those things. But internally, secretly, they adamantly refuse to submit to His sovereign rule. They deny God's call to holiness as a disciple of Christ. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Mark 8:34. Now, deny yourself means in the area of your sinful desire. In other words, deny yourself to the point of death, and then in obedience follow Christ. But these false teachers refuse to deny themselves of their sinful desires, and many will follow their sensuality, even denying the Master. To not deny the Master, to do that, describes a slave who would refuse to obey his master owner. The present participle in our text describes an ongoing refusal to obey. They continually deny the master. Moses is described in this way when he identified with God's people. By faith, Hebrews chapter 11, Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But these false teachers show themselves to be wolves in sheep's clothing by refusing to obey the one they call master. And because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. The way referred to the early church. It was a common description of the Christian community. The way. So Matthew Henry writes, "There was an evil report on the way of truth, that is, the way of salvation by Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life." And these false teachers exploit you with plastic words for their own gain. Plastic words. The Greek term for false words in verse 3 of our text is plastois logos, plastic words, meaning to mold or shape words, as in false, as in hypocritical, as in deceitful, feigned words, or ones easily shaped as desired. Plastic words. These teachers are not interested in truth. In fact, they may not even believe in truth. But rather in exploiting believers for their own gain. Now, their gain might be in the form of wealth or credit, fame, commendation. Whatever it is, they will use you, they will use us, the sheep of Christ, to their own advantage. So Paul writes about these guys. Romans 16, verse 17. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve the Lord Jesus, but their own appetites, their own desires. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. And again, Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us, writes Paul, the apostle. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, their desires. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship, writes Paul, is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior to come as we saw Him leave. He will return. And He will judge. So Paul says, we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Now Peter continues. Their destruction is not asleep, says Peter. Peter uses the word destruction three times in three verses. Destructive heresies, verse 1. Swift destruction, verse 2. And their destruction, verse 3. Which refers to God's sure and final eternal judgment for unbelief in hell. Marvin Vincent is quoted as saying, the judgment is represented here in Peter's text as a living thing. Awake and expectant, long ago that judgment started on its destroying path. And the fate of sinning angels and the deluge, the flood, the worldwide flood, and the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah were but illustrations of its power, nor has it ever since lingered. It advances still, strong and vigilant as when it sprang from the bosom of God, and will not fail to reach the mark to which it was pointed from of old. So we end our text with verse 3 today. Their destruction is not asleep. So what are some ways God's message through Peter may apply to you and to me? First and foremost, obey the command of God to believe in Christ and trust Him alone for forgiveness of sin. If you haven't done that, you are commanded by God to do that. Know that we have in our hands the written Word of God, and then feast on it, for it nourishes your soul There is no other food that you can give your soul to compare with the Word of God. And then eagerly, not out of obligation and monotony, because someone is making you, but eagerly read the Word, devour it, memorize it. Do that out of desire from your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. Next, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. And then belong to a church that teaches and practices the Word. The church that preaches and practices the Word is your God-given defense against error, against false doctrine, against deceitful teachers. And lastly, take note of plastic words. Plastic words cannot alter the order of reality, of creation order. In the beginning, God created all things. God made man and woman in His image. God joined one man and one woman together in marriage. Man's cleverly devised stories built on plastic words cannot and can never alter the created order, but only deceive, leading to destruction. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this, your living Word. We pray, Lord, that for those who are in the hearing, do not know you as Lord and Savior, that they would come to you and know of your life-giving gift in Christ, through the Spirit applied Word and hearing and seeing of it, and then the receiving of it in repentance for sin. So, Lord, we pray for those who do know you today, and each one of us as members of this church, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church, that you grow us in Christ-like change for our good, for our joy, and for your glory, enabling us to be pillars of lampstand, gospel truth in this community where you have placed us. And Lord, help us to feast on your Word. Alert us to plastic words that are used so effectively around us, continually, day in and day out, that we might indeed trust only in you and your Word. That is truth against the deceit and falsehoods of the devil. We ask this for the good of your people and for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.